Amen. Isn't this so true? If we speak the name of Jesus, he's faithful, isn't he? Amen. Well, tonight, I'm going to talk just a little bit to get the EQ set up for my voice. Tonight, I'm going to talk about the power of personal prophecy. The power of personal prophecy. Last week, I talked about the essence of worship, and this week, it's kind of be along the essence of prophecy. What prophecy is, what it's not, what it is in our lives. And so I'm going to be sharing just what God's put on my heart, and I just want to talk about it. Can we just talk tonight? Yes. Say amen.
Amen.
Let's talk.
Yes.
Let's talk. Let's go. So a lot of people don't understand the office of prophet or the gift of prophecy. And it's something that, you know, a lot of people stay away from, but it's something that's so necessary in the life of every believer. Not only the office of prophet, but the gift of prophet. And, you know, a lot of times it's misconstrued. You know, in the past, people's used it for self-gain. And that's just the ugly part of it. Whenever you have God's snake, you also have a counterfeit snake. Can we get an amen? And so it's important to know the difference, and that's why the Bible says to test every word. You test every word because you want to be accountable. And a lot of times people don't necessarily want that because they're operating in it in a gift of fear. And so anytime that someone tests them, they get offense. They say, well, God told me that. But the thing is, if God told you that, then you want your word tested. You want it tested because you want truth. And you don't have to try to get on God's side. If God gave you a word, he's there. And so we're going to be talking about personal prophecy. And in that, I just want to say how I feel about it. I believe in the prophet. I believe in the gift of prophecy. And in that, I seek counsel from the office of the prophets, from the house of the prophets. It says, let the voice of the prophet be subject to the house of the prophets. And so I have people that I call whenever I have something arise, and they tell me, and it's the craziest thing. They all tell me the same thing. They could be miles and miles away, hundreds of miles away, but they'll all say the same thing. Because the voice of the prophet is the Holy Spirit. And you can trust that. And the church needs to come back into a place because there's a remnant. There's a remnant of the true prophet. And we need to seek our counsel from it. We need to put our faith in it. We need to follow the direction of what God's saying. Don't let man have the steering wheel. Let God have the steering wheel. Amen? But I want to focus on what we say tonight. What we say. You can bless or you could curse. You can sow seeds of blessing, or you can sow thorns. And the dangerous thing is you reap what you sow. That's the truth of the Bible. That's the truth. Whenever you're engaging with your friends and when you're engaging with your coworkers or your family, you can make a decision to bless. You can make a decision to say, I'm going to bless you. If we speak life in our lives, if we speak life in our marriage, if we speak life in our families, how much further will it go? Because you can either speak life into it or you can speak death into it. The power of your words carry great weight. You have to understand The Bible says you're accountable for every errant word. You are accountable. And it says God will hold you accountable. So before we speak, we need to listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, weigh your words. Hold yourself accountable. You can speak life or you can speak death. You know, the wonderful thing about it is we can speak life into this church. We can speak life into this church. We have the privilege as a family of believers to speak life into this church. Whenever you're walking down the street, you can be praying, saying, God, I pray blessings over my church. I pray that we stay on our purpose. We stay on our course. God, I pray that we're able to heal the sick and they shall recover in your name. I pray that we're able to focus on what our target is. Not get distracted by the cares of the world, but we're able to stay motivated in who we are. Who God says we are. You can pray that. We can all pray that. You can tell your friends, hey, I got a church. I got a church. They could be going to you with trouble. And you can say, you know what? I got a church. I got a family of believers. You need to come in here because you'll meet Jesus. You're speaking blessings over this house. You're speaking a purpose. That's so important. We can't get past that. The power of our words carry great weight. And so, we're accountable. Also, you get to use your words for war. Spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. And have the faith and knowledge of what the Bible says. We don't need to be reliant on what people are saying. We need to be reliant on what this is saying. You need to speak truth. You need to speak what God puts in your heart because everything he puts in your heart is in this book. And if it's not in this book, test. Mark 11, verse 23. This is a powerful word. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that these things he says will be done, he will have whatever he asks. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. How many mountains do we have in our lives? How many mountains do we have in our lives where we spend our time trying to run up the mountain when God said, no, you're supposed to pray to the mountain to be removed? It's not your works. It's not your hands. You need to have faith and say, my Jesus said this mountain can be removed. My Jesus said that this can be extinguished by his name. And if I have the faith in knowing that he's more than able to do that, then I can speak it. 1 John 5:14. 1 John 5:14. If you ask anything according to his will, he will hear it. If you ask anything according to his will. Well, that brings us to the fact, what is his will? What is his will in our lives? What is his will in our church? Know this, that anything that God purposed you for and God puts in your life is his will. You're to spread the gospel. You're to be messengers. You're to seek him. You're going to worship him. If you have anything in your life that's trying to get in your way of that, it's a mountain. It's a mountain. You need to identify what it is. Like Brother Hunter Lundy said, we can't be seated. We can't be sat down. We can't sit. We need to be going. We need to be doing. The church is idle. I want to say this. The world doesn't know what's going on right now. But the church does and is idle. We're in a position of authority to speak and it shall be done. We're in a position to speak blessings, not cursing, and it shall be done. We're to wage war in the Spirit. We're to stand knowing that He has purposed us on this earth for such a time as this. He had the faith to know that you were going to be able to stand up and speak. And that's why you're here right now. A lot of times we see the prophets of old and we're like, man, if I could just be there. If I could see, if I could hear, if I could see the marvelous works. But God trusted us for this day and age. God trusted us to stand and say, you know what, enemy? There's a remnant left and we're going to take a stand. We're going to turn this nation. We're going to turn this world. Because my Bible says that there's an end time revival. And I've been put on this earth to speak it. I've been put on this earth to be a voice crying out in the wilderness. That's our job. We don't get to heaven by works, but you do the works while you're here. We've been positioned. We've got a misconception that we got to earn our salvation. No, you don't earn your salvation. Freely it's given. Freely receive. But Jesus also said, I'm sending you. Jesus said that to make fishers of men, to make disciples, going to all the nations, preaching the gospel, healing the sick, laying hands on them, casting out demons in His name. That's our commission. God trusted us this day to do that. God trusted us to wage a mighty war. With our words, it starts with us. Our words, blessings or cursings. God's making ready a mighty outpouring. You can see it. I can hear it. Anytime you see the enemy, you know that your God is able. And you can hear him coming. I can hear the sound of rain. I can hear him. I can hear him saying, make way. Get ready. Get your boots on. Get your shield up. Let's make war. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Joel chapter 2, verse 23. So rejoice, O sons of Zion, and be glad in the Lord your God. For he has given you the early rain for your vindication, and he has poured out for you the rain and the early and the latter rain as before. The threshing floors will be full of grain, and the vats will overflow with the new wine and oil. New wine, new oil, new anointing, new spirit. Then I will make for you the years that the swarming locusts have eaten, the creeping locust, the stripping locust, and the gnawing locust. How many's tired of seeing the locusts destroy and eat away at the church and the country? How many is tired of it? We have to get to a place where we're tired of it and we're going to say, you know what? Now's the time. I'm here to fight. I'm here to fight. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of seeing my family destroyed. I'm tired of seeing my church destroyed. I'm tired of seeing the enemy take and me just sit here. I'm going to make war. I'm going to speak the word of the Lord. I'm going to proclaim the good news. And I know that it's His voice, not mine. And I'll see my people never be put to shame. Thus you will know that I am in the midst of Israel, and I am the Lord your God, and there is none other. And my people will never be put to shame, and it will come about after this that I will pour out my spirit. This is what Peter said in Acts. I will pour out my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. And the old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. This is what the Word of God says. Acts chapter 2. This is where Peter quotes this. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord will call. There's a lot of people that says this is done. But this says, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. Are you called to him? Have you received salvation? The works of the Spirit has not ended. Ask me, I got a whole thing from after John passed, all the writings, all the way up to now, where the works of the Spirit carried on. It's in historical writings. It never ceased. Don't let anyone tell you it ceased. They're trying to limit you and trying to limit God. That can't be done. 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 breaks down the gifts of the Spirit, but I want to use this one. Pursue love. What's the most powerful commandment? Love. Pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. This word prophesy right here means divine counsel. Divine counsel. So that you can give divine counsel. Pursue that you could give divine counsel. For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands. But in his spirit he speaks mysteries. But one who prophesies speaks to men for edification. Edification in this word in Greek means to build up. Exhortation, this word means to give encouragement. And consolation, that means to comfort. One who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but one who prophesies edifies the church. The purpose of prophecy is to align what has been misaligned. You are to give divine counsel. You say, I don't have the gift of the Spirit. I don't have the gift of prophecy. We're all given different gifts. Some to teach. Some to give. There's a whole list. There's over 30. Each one is different. Here's the thing. We all need to pursue speaking the truth. You can walk into someone's situation and change their life. You have the ability to change the course of someone's life. That's all of us. We can all give divine counsel. I want to talk about a certain time that God told me to do something. And I'm not saying this to try to brag. I want to be lowest. I want to be a servant because that's what Jesus was. But I also want this to be a testimony. There's this one time, me and Natalie, whenever Izzy was a baby, we were at Chick-fil-A and we were sitting there. And God told me to go talk to a woman. And he gave me her name. Her name was Mary. And I looked at Natalie and I said, God told me to go talk to her and he gave me a word for her. But she was in a group. It looked like her daughters and they were all sitting there. And I was so nervous. And I told Natalie, I was like, I don't know. And she's like, if God told you to do it, you better do it. I hate attention on myself. I sweat through my shirt. Because I know the responsibility, and I know you don't play games with people's lives. If God gives you a word and you say, thus saith the Lord, it better be the Lord. It better be the Lord. And so, it was right about the end, and we had sat there after we had finished eating, and I think Natalie even said, I'll go wait in the car. And I walked over to the table, and I said, is your name Mary? Because that was my out. If her name wasn't Mary, I knew that I was wrong and I was going to the car. I said, is your name Mary? She said, yes. I went, phew. I said, "Can I sit down?" She said, "Yeah." And so our daughters moved over, and I sat down right in front of her, and I gave her what God gave me. And the beautiful thing is, if God gives you a word, and it's God, God shows up. And His glory was there, right in Chick-fil-A. It was there so much that they had to help her to her car, because God had an encounter with her. If God gives you a word for somebody, be obedient, but also be able to be corrected. The wonderful thing about this gift is you need to equip yourself and build it up. You need to put yourself in subjection to a prophet and say, "God speaks to me, and I want you to help me navigate this. I want to be a steward of the gift. I want to be able to speak and be obedient and not speak in error and take my emotions and my thoughts out of it." Because when you first start, we all have our own glasses and we all have our own lenses. And we all try to put our spin on it. But as you mature and grow in your gift, whatever it is, your lens gets a little more clear. And before long, it's exactly what God has put inside you. But subject yourself to the authority and grow and be okay to be corrected. The wonderful thing about correction is it's meant to grow you. It's meant to grow you. Don't take offense, but be like, "God, thank you. Thank you. You're walking with me through this. I can navigate this." The wonderful thing about waging war with prophecy is you speak against what's coming against you. You have the power to wage war with the gift of prophecy in your life, personal prophecy. Like I said, the power of your words. This isn't the gift. This isn't the office. This is personal prophecy in your life. What you speak. Your blessings is what you speak. My favorite example of this is in Ezekiel. In Ezekiel 25, 26, 28, 29, 35, God instructs Ezekiel to speak against the enemies. Speak against and prophesy against Ammon, Moab, Edom, Philistines, Tyre. The list goes on and on. Ezekiel 35, it says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Mount Seir, and prophesy against it, and say unto it, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, Mount Seir, I am against thee, and I will stretch out my hand against thee, and I will make thee most desolate. And I will lay the cities to waste, and thou shalt be desolate, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord God." The key part about speaking against what's coming against you is you have the power. It's God's power through you. But whenever you're facing trials, whenever you're facing mountains, you can speak to it and say, "I see you, Satan, and I bind you in the name of Jesus. I bind you for coming against my family. I proclaim the blood of Jesus over my house. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will walk righteously before God. As for me and my house, we will wage war with what you have given me." And that's the word of the Lord. The promises of this book are mine. You got to speak against what's coming against you. A lot of times we sit on our backs and we say, "God, do something. God, do something. I don't know what it is, but God, do something." But what Jesus did in his ministry is he always made them say it. You need to see that. Jesus always made them profess what they needed. Why? Because Jesus knew the power of the spoken word. Do you want to be healed? You want to see the dead raised? You want to see your family come back to Christ? You want to pray a covering of protection over them? You got to say it. You got to say it. You got to take that offense and you got to take that shield, because God gave you a shield for a reason. And you take the sword because God gave you that sword for a reason. And you take your voice, which is the promises of the Lord, and you say against what's coming against you. And say, I'm mighty through Christ who strengthens me. I don't care what's coming against me. I can overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. You got to speak life into what you think is dead. What you've given up on. What you've walked away from. What you've lost hope in. God will set you right down in the middle of it and say this. Ezekiel 37, the valley of dry bones. A lot of times we see the bones and we get overwhelmed because all we see is defeat. But Jesus took Ezekiel right here because Israel had fallen away from their faith. They'd given up on God. They were dry. They were serving other gods. Because of that, they went in captivity. But God took Ezekiel and he said, I want you to speak into the dry bones. It's time to call forth what's dead to life. Amen? It's time to prophesy life. Ezekiel 37, it says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. This valley word right here in the Hebrew means battlefield. And he set me out in the battlefield to speak the word of the Lord. And it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass among them round about. And behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry. I'm tired of a dry nation. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, you know. And he said to me, prophesy over these bones. And saying to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cause breath. This word in the Hebrew means my spirit. My spirit. To enter you and that you may come to life. What is this saying in Ezekiel? He's going to put you on the battlefield. He's going to put you on the battlefield of life where all you see is destruction. And he's going to go, speak to the bones. Speak to the bones. Speak my word. Say what I say. Speak spirit and life into them and watch what happens. Word to wage war. I think it was a timely word Hunter brought. Don't be lazy. Don't be cowardly. And then what I'm saying tonight, you got to speak. You got to speak. Warfare. Prophetic declarations are meant to be used for warfare. You are to put on the full armor of God and call into remembrance the prophecies given to you. Call forth the dreams. Call forth the prophecies. The scriptures in 1 Timothy 1:18. This is Paul talking to his spiritual son. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before thee, that thou by them might, what is that? War a good warfare. I know the prophecies over you, Paul's saying. I know what was spoke over your life. I know the purpose that God put inside you. Don't lose the prophecies that's been placed in you, that's put over you, and wage a good warfare with them. You got to have those in your quiver. Whenever the enemy comes calling, you need to take out that word and say, you know what? My God said this. And you know what? My God said this. My God said that I have all these promises. I have all these prophecies, and I'm to wage a good warfare. That means I'm to be in a place where I can wage war on a battlefield. What? Speaking truth. Speaking the Holy Spirit into life. We have the awesome responsibility to be carriers, to speak truth, to speak blessings, to wage a good fight. Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against rulers of darkness, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. How do you battle in the Spirit? With the Spirit. How do you battle? In obedience. Like Pastor says, you don't go picking fights. That's the worst thing you can do. Because if God hadn't told you to go over there, you're going by yourself. And that's the most awful place to be. But if God tells you to go take that mountain, you had better go take that mountain. If God put it in your heart, you'd better be obedient. And know that it's not you. You're being able to fight that good fight. And God is like the dad. You know how a little boy, whenever they got their dad with them, boy, they're 10 feet tall. They go out on the playground and they're ready to whoop every single person that tries to mess with them. They got stories. My dad did this. Oh yeah? Well, my dad did this. We got to know who our daddy is. It says you are a spiritual son. You're a spiritual daughter by adoption, by Jesus. What does that mean? It means that God's with you. I think the best truth I was ever given is whenever Jesus and the Lord brought the Israelites out of Egypt, he said, I'm going to make you go around the enemy. Because if I know that you go into the enemy's territory in that straight line, they'll overcome you. And you'll get distracted, and you'll get dismayed, and you'll go back to Egypt. What does that mean? It means if God puts you in war, he knows that you can take it. If he puts you in the battlefield, he knows that you're more than capable to handle yourself and know that you're strong through him. Don't get downtrodden whenever you're facing battles. When you're facing battles, you got to know that Jesus is there and you're getting stronger and stronger. I know if I want someone in my corner fighting, I don't want one that's never faced a battle. I want one that has scars on them, big knuckles, ones that's been broke, because I know that they've fought. They know how to handle themselves. That's the same with us. We got to know how to fight. We can't be weak. We got to be able to take our stance, our position of authority that God places us, and be able to stand there saying, you know what? God put me here. This ain't me. God put me here. So if God put me here, you know what? God's with me. It's not my fight, it's his. And in that, it's his battle. It's my words. I'm just got to say what he says. I just got to be obedient and say what he says. I'm reminded when it comes to seeing defeat and seeing loss, this world is lost. There's depression, there's anger, there's anxiety running rampant. Even the church is running. But the church has a purpose and the church has a gift. I want to tell you, if you honor the prophetic, if you put a place of honor on the house of the prophet, whenever times come of testing, he's there. The Shunammite woman, 2 Kings chapter 4, She honored the prophet. She built an addition onto her house. And she says, whenever you come into town, you have a place to stay. I'll feed you. I'm going to honor you. I don't want anything in return. I want to be an honor. But guess what? He said, what do you want? She didn't even say it. She wanted a son. Gehazi had to tell him. She wanted a son. And so he said, because you've honored the Lord, because you've honored the prophet, you're going to have a son. We have that promise. We have that hope. We have that joy. And then something happens and we lose it. In every one of our lives, we can all think of times when we've lost. We can all think of times whenever we've been put down on the mat. Not knowing where to go, what to say, how to say it. But if you honor God, if you honor the prophet, he'll be there. Her son, he says, my head, and he falls down and he dies. He dies in her arms. The promise is gone. The promise of a son is gone. And what does she do? She takes that promise and she takes it up to that bed that she had for the prophet and she lays him down. She says, I'm going to go get the prophet. Her husband asks, is it well? And she says, it's well. She runs to the prophet. She runs right past Gehazi. She falls at his feet. And guess what the prophet said? It's hidden from me. Her heart is troubled, but it's hidden from me. Why did he say that? She had to say it. She had to say it. It's hidden from me, but she had to say it. And as soon as she said that the promise has been taken, he sent Gehazi with its staff and he said, lay it on him. She said, I won't leave you. And they went together. The prophet went to her house. And then the most crazy thing happened. He went up and he laid down. My head, my head. Where does he put his head? Where does he put his head? So he entered and shut the door behind him. And both and prayed unto the Lord. And he said, and he went up and he laid on the child. And he put his mouth on the child's mouth. And he put his eyes on the child's eyes. And he put his hands on the child's hands. And he stretched himself on him. What does this mean? The word. He put his mouth, he put the word, the promise on that child's mouth. He put his eyes, he put the vision of the Lord on that child. He put his hand, he put the works of God on his hands. And he laid himself on him with righteousness, with holiness. And he set on him till the answer came. He got up. The body was warm. He got up and he walked back and forth and then he went back and he laid down again. Same thing, mouth on mouth, eyes on eyes, hands on hands. And the promise came back to life. Sneezed seven times and came back to life. How's this story relate with us? Our word is his word. Our vision is his vision. His works are on our hands. His Holy Spirit's resting on us. Why? Because his Spirit brings life. His Spirit brings life to what's dead. What we think is gone is not. He calls things that are not as though they are. That was Abraham. Abraham thought he was done, thought he was dead. But God said what was not. And he spoke life. It's time for the church to take its place. It's time for the church to take its place. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You got to stand in a place, take your spot, speak the word, say, addiction, you can't have my children. Alcoholism, you can't have my children. Death, you cannot have my children. I want to go ahead and say this. We're supposed to be standing and saying, COVID-19, you can't have my church family. What is it? It's iniquity. It's come to steal, kill, and destroy. What did Jesus come to do? To give life and life more abundant. We're to take our place of authority and say, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit, says the Lord. I say if the church stood up in its place, we could turn this nation around. I say if the church stood up in its place, we'll be leading, not following. But it takes one thing, being in your place. Being in your place. Are you available? Are you available? Availability is the hardest thing when it comes to works in our lives. I'm going to say this. Anytime when it comes to moving somebody, we can call. Hey, I need help moving this person. Oh, I'm busy. I'm busy. I'm busy. But when the Lord calls, are we saying, I'm busy? I'm busy. I'm busy. I want you to go talk to that person. I'm busy. I want you to go minister to somebody. Oh, I'm busy. We need to stay available. We need to speak blessings, not cursings. You're accountable for every word you say. That's what the Bible says. Take your place. You can speak life. Remember the prophecies over you. I know I got a book. Most of them from my daddy. Of the prophecies spoken over my life. I wasn't even supposed to be alive. I wasn't even supposed to make it. My mother miscarried my sister. And then I started having the same problems when she was carrying me. The doctor said, doesn't look good. They put her in bed. She was still miscarrying me. But she went to church on faith one night. And a man named Earl Blancett, he didn't even know, but he was available. God said, go pray over Betty and bind what's trying to steal their promise. And he went over there and prayed for my mom. And here I am. The power of God is alive. The power of God is alive. I had a dream. I had a dream over a year ago. And it was that fathers and mothers would be fathers and mothers to children they didn't know. And we've prayed. And we've prayed. We don't understand, but we've prayed. And we're following God. We're building the backbone of this ministry as I speak. It's called RC Kids. We're doing our due diligence right now. because of a dream I had a year ago. At the appointed time, it shall be. What is it going to take? God gave a purpose. God gave a word. He also gave me a dream of a ministry for supernatural gifts. I don't know when that time will be, but I know that if he gave the dream and I speak the word, here in Branson, we're going to have a school. I don't understand. It's not for me to understand. It's for me to speak. Speak the promise and speak life. I know this, that we are to stand and speak into this church. Habakkuk 2 verse 14 says, "For all the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." I'm praying for the glory of the Lord in this house. I'm praying for the glory of the Lord to reside in each and every one of us. I'm praying for the glory of the Lord to be so tangible in this place that people are drawn in by the streets and they have an encounter with God as soon as they walk through those doors. Because I'm standing on a promise that Habakkuk said. I'm standing on the glory of the Lord being in this place, in the coming and in the going. Whatever we set our mind to, if it's according to his will, he's faithful to carry it out. I'm standing in a place where I prophesy that every curse spoken over this house is going to be turned to a blessing. Every curse that's been spoken against this place shall be turned into a blessing. Say, so how can you do that? I can't. But I can be obedient to the word of the Lord that he gives. And I can speak his word. And all it takes is my availability and your availability. I say we're going to change this town. I say we're going to change this county. And I say we're going to change this state. Amen. Because what the Lord has promised, he's faithful to fulfill. So where do I take my stand? On my knees. I wage war and battle in prayer, saying that every promise is going to be fulfilled. Every prophecy over this house is going to be fulfilled. I'm standing on the battlefield. Join me. Join me on the battlefield and speak life in the Holy Spirit. I know that we're the answer that this world needs. Are you available? Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, God, seeking your direction, standing in faith, knowing that if we say to this mountain, it shall be moved, it shall be taken up. So I come against every mountain in every life, saying by the power and the blood of the name of Jesus, we have total freedom. Be thou removed. Every hindrance, every fear, be removed in the name of Jesus, and I speak perfect peace in its place. I say that we shall be a place of prayer. We shall be a place of worship. We shall be a place that the glory resides, that people will know and feel and know the purpose that they'll feel your presence in this place. And God, we stand in our place, available to do your work in the mighty name of Jesus. In your holy name, amen. There's been such a sweet spirit here all night. To be honest, I don't know what's next. But I know this, if you have a mountain in your life, now's the time. Now's the time to come up and say, I give it to you. And by your word, I'm going to take it and I'm going to throw it in the sea. Not that I can do it on my own, but that you can do it. So, Heavenly Father, if there's any mountains in this place, if there's any enemy that's coming against your children, Heavenly Father, I pray over each and every person that they trust and have faith and know that you're faithful to remove it. And so we can take our place of authority, for we have been called for such a time as this to fight the good fight of faith, to stand and to speak your word. So God, I pray for each and every person. I pray for the mountains that try to hinder, that they be turned to a blessing. In the mighty name of Jesus.